Well, the markets are up slightly today. I think investors are trying to get a sense of did they get what they were asking for yesterday from the Federal Reserve Bank with that 25 basis point cut to interest rates. To dig a little deeper, let's welcome our next guest, Doug Cioka, CEO of Kavar Capital. So, Doug, thanks so much for joining us here in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio. First of all, just give us a sense, you know, the Federal Reserve and the New York Federal Reserve Bank of New York have been really in the news this week. First, let's just start with what's happening in the repo market. As an investor, this is probably something, you know, I know you went to the Chicago Graduate School of Business, so they got some smart people there, but I'm guessing even you geeks at Chicago didn't talk about...
Hey now.
I was waiting.
Back up.
That's right. He's out. Didn't
spend a lot of time on the Fed funds market.
We didn't. And I don't know, you know, if you can take your cues from Jamie Dimon from a high level who said yesterday, this is really nothing to be too concerned with. We tend to feel the same way. I mean, I read something this morning about just the structure of liquidity in the capital markets now and in Fed's balance sheet by virtue of the fact that banks have had such requirements to reduce risk and actually increase capital just because it's not in the form of dollars when dollars are going to be needed to either clear what a lot of people are talking about very commonly two things, right? They had a tax payment due on the 15th of September rolled over to the weekend, and there was also a treasury auction. One thing I've not heard a lot about, which I think is compelling, is you probably had a lot of these dealer banks that may have been caught short in the commodity market when you saw a 12% spike in the price of oil after the Saudi Arabia attack over the weekend. So I tend to think that the Fed is addressing it well. I think they're probably doing it well and then some. You know, one of the concepts that I heard floated last night after the meeting was maybe putting in a fixed rate repo market. They're, I guess, more comfortable doing this on an ad hoc basis. A comment that Jay Powell made yesterday in his press conference was, well, this could behoove us to maybe slowly begin the expansion of the balance sheet. I don't know why he would want to do that if he's in a mid-cycle pause when there seems to be a fixed option that would be more preferable.
I guess taking a bigger step back, so we did get this disruption in repo markets that most people seem to think is clearly a plumbing and technical issue, not necessarily counterparty risk issue, such as what we saw in 2008. The Fed is coming in, fixing it, at least with a temporary patch. That said, it raises a question about risk appetite going forward, because if disruptions like this can happen, it didn't cause a disruption in risk appetite in the short run. In the long run, people say that it will. So does this adjust your view or just sort of edify your view when it comes to risk?
Yeah, it's a great question. I actually think, Lisa, the lack of reverberation was very heartening. I think that it probably adds to that proverbial wall of worry that people are climbing. Add this to negative sentiment, add this to incredibly heightened fears of recession. People can make the case as to any given day why they should avoid the capital markets. This probably, on a contrarian perspective, offers more opportunity than it does despair in our mind.
So, Doug, it seems yesterday we got that 25 basis point cut to rates. The chairman signaled that, the Fed is continuing to look at the data and will act accordingly. At your fund, how are you guys kind of positioned given what appears to be a slower growth but lower rate environment?
Yeah, and so just to be clear, so we don't run pooled portfolios. So we run individual wealth management accounts for our individual clients. But we look at each person's situation specific and understand what their comfort is in taking risk. But from a broad level, right, we kind of characterize the market in somewhat of a form of volatility sequencing, right? And within volatility sequencing, we modify strategies where we're going to emphasize either beta or alpha driven strategies. So as an example, in the fourth quarter of 2018, you know, we saw incredible amount of indiscriminate selling, right? All babies thrown out with all bathwater, and the market really plummeted, right? At that point in time, our approach was to cast a pretty wide net and employ a very, very beta dependent strategy. The last thing you want to do in the depths of a market decline is being the one or two stocks, right, of the single sector that does not participate in the ensuing recovery. So when we go into that beta orientation, we're trying to make sure we're getting good exposure where we think valuations are very compelling. When volatility normalizes, as it has now, right, in general, obviously when it talks about the levels of the VIX, it's come into maybe below or even normal levels. But at this point, our strategy becomes more alpha sensitive, right? Individual stock selections, active management, all the while being sure that you're downstream of the Fed's liquidity river, right? And that river right now is not really flowing strongly one way or another, which even heightens more the importance of security selectivity as we kind of meander through what we think is a very attractive opportunity in certain sectors, but the entire market still looks really attractive from a contrarian perspective because fear is so strong.
All right. So when you talk about the market still being somewhat attractive, at least in the near term.
Right.
When you want to take risk, stocks versus bonds right now, are you seeing more opportunities in stocks than, say, riskier credit, vice versa? How are you getting exposure to more risk?
Yeah, I read a Kyle Bass interview quote a couple months back, and he said the whole world's kind of ended up, and it's perverse, right? People are buying bonds for growth and stocks for yield, right? Think about this. The utility sector and the tech sector sell at the same multiple.
Yep.
The REIT sector and the consumer discretionary sector sell at the same multiple. Now, the consumer discretionary market, the companies are growing 3 times faster than the REIT companies. The utility companies are growing half as fast as technology companies. So from our perspective, you're going to be compensated for risk. And from a broad market analytical standpoint, the earnings yield is almost to its widest historically ever to the bond yield. I'm using the 10-year as a proxy. So there are great opportunities in the broad market. We think selectively, just given some of the earnings growth that's being fully discounted in certain sectors, there's great places to deploy capital right now.
Crazy volatility in the energy markets over the past week or two. How are you guys thinking about energy?
You know, we're generally not big fans of fossil fuel, right? I think it is interesting that we saw 5.5% of the world supply of oil come off the market in an instant over the weekend. And we saw a single day pop of 12%. It retraced completely in the following 2 days. And the IEA report yesterday was a build, including crude inventories. So the world is awash in oil. And the fact that companies that are using the same amount of oil are doing more with it just because of enhancements in efficiency and innovation and productivity. We don't think that there are certain companies within there that might be good yield plays and total return plays, but the sector in general is not something we find very attractive.
Doug Scioca, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Doug Scioca is Chief Executive Officer of Kvar Capital, normally based over in Kansas, but he's here with us today in New York in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios.